Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Ayin He, we revisit a statement that we saw on the previous Daf, Gufa. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Modeh Biknas, V'achar Kach Bao Adim Patur. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that if someone admits that they did a sin that would require them to pay a fine, so then they don't pay the fine, because you don't pay a fine based on admission only when witnesses come. Everybody agrees to that part. Here's the chidush. Let's say witnesses come and testify that he did this sin after he already admitted it. Rav says, nevertheless, he does not have to pay the fine, because that's it. Once the admission is in, if you get the admission in to the registrar, into the court, before the witnesses come, then that's it. You admit it, and you don't have to pay, even though there are witnesses out there, and even though the witnesses came and testified. If the witnesses had come first, then you would have to pay. But now you admitted first. That's good. Rav Chista is going to challenge Rav Huna based on the following story that we find in a Baraita. It's a good story. Rabban Gamliel accidentally blinded the eye of his slave, Tavi. Tavi was an Eved Kena'ani. He was known to be very righteous and knowledgeable. And Rabban Gamliel loved him and appreciated him. And one day, however, somehow accidentally, he blinded the eye of his slave Tavi. And Rabban Gamliel was very happy about that. He wasn't happy that his slave had an injury, but he was happy that now his slave could go free. Apparently, Rabban Gamliel held of the view that one is not permitted to free a Canaanite slave. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu. They have to be slaves forever. But if by mistake it happens that the owner knocks out his eye, then he goes free. So he was so happy for his slave, although he would lose the slave. He was happy for Tavi, that Tavi was able to gain his freedom. So Rabbi Yoshua met him, and apparently Rabban Gamliel was very happy. So, right, what are you so happy about? Rabbi Yoshua asked Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel answers, didn't you hear? Don't you know? My slave Tavi is now free. I'm so happy for him. Amar lo lama? Amar lo shesimeti et ayno. So he said, so Rabbi Yoshua says, well, why, how did he go free? What happened? So Rabban Gamliel says, I blinded his eye. Amar lo en bidbarecha kelum shekavad. And lo ayadim. Rabbi Yoshua says, sorry to ruin your happy occasion, but actually it's not working. Your words are nothing because there are no witnesses to it. You admitted to it yourself, but now once you admit it, you don't have to pay a fine. The freeing of an Eved Kena'ani based after knocking out his tooth or his eye is a fine. And so if you come and admit to it in the court, then he does not go free. And here, there were not witnesses that came. You admitted to yourself, so sorry, Tavi is still a slave. Okay, so that's the end of the story. Let's analyze the consequences of the story. Hayesh lo adim hayav v'shaminan mina mode biknas v'achar kach ba'u adim hayav. Rabbi Yoshua says that you don't have to pay because there are no witnesses. Right, so they don't exist. It happened in private, so that we can infer if there had been witnesses, even if they came afterwards, then Rabban Gamliel would have to set his slave free. What do we see from here? That if someone admits that they did a crime and then witnesses come, and nevertheless, he would go free, right? Because we're making a diuk from the fact that he said, Shekevad en lo adim. He didn't say, because you already admitted, so because you admitted, he's not going to go free. Rather, he said, because there's no witnesses. It means if there are witnesses, even if they come after, then he would go free. That this is against Rav, because Rav says that as long as one testifies, even if witnesses come after, there is no fine and would not go free. So Rav Huna answers Rav Chista and says, no, this story, you can't bring any proof from here, because Rabban Gamliel, when he admitted, he did not admit it to a Betin. He did not officially admit it in a Betin. and therefore the slave will go free. It was not, he never admitted it. Okay, Vehad Abi Yoshua Abet Din Hava. Hold on, Abi Yoshua is himself the head of the court. So Rabban Gamliel admitted it in front of Abi Yoshua. So doesn't that mean that Rabban Gamliel went and visited Abi Yoshua in his workplace in the Bet Din, and he said, "Oh, I'm so happy I blinded my slave today, and therefore he's going to go free." So there was an official admission in the court. No, Shelo Bet Din Hava Kae. No, Rabbi Yoshua was not in the Bet Din. He went out for lunch. He was walking around, and they met each other in the middle of the street. And he said, "In the middle of the street, that's not an official admission. There was no court. There weren't any three judges." V'hatanya Amar Lo En Bidbarecha Kelum Shekevad Hodeta. Hold on. There's another version of the story in a different Baraita, where Rabbi Yoshua says, he doesn't say that you said nothing because there are edim, because there are no edim, so he's not going to go free. Rather, he said, there's nothing in your words because you admitted. So in this version, Rabban Gamliel did come and he did admit, which means that once you admit, this is actually proof for Rav, that once you admit, then the slave goes free, and it doesn't matter if there are witnesses that come after. Even if witnesses come, still he would go free. My love, Tana Ehi, Hay Tana Damar Shekevad En Lecha Edim Savar Mode Biknas V'Achar Ba'od Edim Hayav, V'Hay Tana Damar Shekevad Odeta Savar Mode Biknas V'Achar Kach Ba'od Edim Patur. So it seems that these two baraitot, these two versions of the story, are themselves arguing about whether we follow Rav or not. The Braita that says that there are no witnesses, meaning the first version of the Braita, that would agree with, that would be against Rav, as we said, that's where we brought the question from. And they would say that if someone admits to that he did a crime for which he would have to pay a knas, so he's exempt at that point. But if witnesses come after, it turns out there were witnesses and we would have known anyway. And so you would have had to pay the fine. So now you do have to pay the fine. That's the first version. And the second version that says that Rabbi Yoshua says, you already admitted and therefore there is no fine and you keep the slave and he does not go free, that would agree with Rav, that if once you admit, even if witnesses come after, there is no fine. So does that make sense that these two baraitot argue along these lines? Lo dekula amma munde biknas v'achabau edim patur. No, it could be that both baraitot agree with Rav that once you admit to a knas, even if witnesses come after, there is no fine. Ubahakami palge haitana savar shikabar en lecha edim savar chutz betin hava vahaitana vahachtana dama shikabar odeta savar betin hava. They're not arguing on the law, they're just arguing on the particulars of that case, what it happened to be. One tana of the first baraita that said that there were no witnesses, he thought that they, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Rabban Gamliel, met in the middle of the street, and so it was not in front of Bet Din, and so that's why he used that language. Whereas according to the other one, this is that you already admitted, they thought that they met in Bet Din, and it was while the court was sitting there, so it was an official, happened to be an official admission. But either way, that's just that happens to be the particulars of the case. But both baraitot could very well agree with Rav. Good. Itmar modeh biknas v'achar ba'edim. Rav amar patur, Shmuel amar chayav. Now we find out the other side of the machloket. If someone admits to a crime, and that involves a fine, so he doesn't have a fine, and then if witnesses come after, Rav says he remains patur forever, and Shmuel says if witnesses come after, then he does have to pay. Amar Rav bar Ahilai, my tama de Rav. What is Rav's source? Im himmase be'adim, timmase be'dayanim, perat lemarshia et asmo. We have here in the context of the ganav b'machteret, it says if you find the item in his hands, then he has to pay double. That's a fine, paying double. Himaseh timaseh, double language. Well, so what does this double language come to teach? If it's found through witnesses and it's discovered through judges. In other words, when do you have to pay double? When witnesses come in front of judges and they determine that you stole, then you have to pay double. But if you admitted to the crime yourself, you say, oh, I stole this thing, then you only have to pay back the keden, not both. Okay, that's all we learned is that self-incrimination, you don't have to. We didn't yet learn the statement of Rav that even if witnesses come after. So here's what we're going to learn. Lamali, now why do I need this pasuk regarding a ganav? I already have something, another derivation from the very next paragraph. Meh asher yashion nafka. I know this whole law from the next law, which is about a watchman who someone gives to something to someone else to watch, and then it's not lost. It turns out that, oh, it was actually the thief, the watchman, who kept it for himself and lied about it. So in that case, he has to pay double. So a watchman also has to pay double. And here it says, Asher Yashion Elohim, which means judges, that if the judge finds him to be a rasha, finds him to be guilty, then Shalem Yashalem Lera'ehu. And we already have a derasha on that. Asher Yashion means that only if the judge finds him guilty, then he has to pay double. But if he admitted it to on his own, then he doesn't pay the fine. He only pays the keden, the principal amount. So I already know this law from the second paragraph regarding a watchman. Why do I need this derivation here regarding the ganav? So the second extra derivation from this pasuk, from the first paragraph, teaches us that if once someone admits, even if witnesses come after, still patur. That's the extra pasuk is to teach the law of Rav. Once you admit, you're good forever. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees. What is he going to do with these pasukim? Hahu mi ba'ale leganav asmo kidatana debe chizkiyah. Shmuel says, no, I need that to learn the law regarding a thief itself. If I only had the second paragraph, I would know that a watchman who self-incriminates doesn't have to pay the double. But how do I know that about a case of a thief? It's a different case. And so I need the first paragraph to teach me the law about the basic law about the thief. And there's no extra pasuk from which you can learn a law that a thief who self-incriminates and then witnesses come is still not liable. No, I think that if witnesses come after, then he does pay the fine. Rav is going to challenge Shmuel from a baraita. This is a funny case. You have the thief, and he didn't admit anything. But then he sees two witnesses walking down the block towards the courthouse. He says, "Uh oh, I recognize those two guys were there. Now they recognize me. They're coming to testify against me, and then I'm going to have to pay double." So the thief, he's a smart thief. He runs into the courthouse before the witnesses and admits, "Vamar ganavti, aval lo tavachti v'lo macharti. I did steal that guy's ox. It's true, but I didn't slaughter it. I didn't sell it." So that way, he can get out of paying the keren. He has to pay the keden, but he can get out of paying the kefel, the double. Eno mishalem ela keden. The Braita says, in fact, he doesn't pay the keden, even though the witnesses are right behind him, and evidently they walk in right behind him and they testify, yeah, we saw this guy, he's the thief, he stole it. Still, we don't make him pay double because he admitted first. This is a proof for Rav against Shmuel. Shmuel says, this must be a case where the witnesses changed their mind and they returned. I guess they saw the thief go in and admit to it. Says, oh, well, he admitted to it, so we don't have to testify. We have better things to do. And they changed their mind and didn't testify. But if they would testify, even after the admission, then Shmuel says, then he would have to pay double. Rav says, wait, you can't say that because look at the continuation of the Braita, where we have a differing opinion. Rabbi Shimon says, even though the thief admitted, nevertheless, same case, and nevertheless, the witnesses should still come and testify, because that means that their testimony will change the outcome, that they and the thief will have to pay double, even though he just admitted. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees with Tanna Kamma, that we can prove from that, according to Tanna Kamma, even if the witnesses come and testify, still the thief will not have to pay double. That's why they don't bother. They could come testify. It doesn't matter if they come and testify or not. It could very well be that they do come and testify, but they don't have to. They would tell them, hey, you know, don't bother testifying. He already admitted to it, and he's not going to pay the double no matter what. So you see from the Sefa that Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar thinks like you, Shmuel, that the witnesses who come after will make him to pay double, but not Tanakama. Amar Shmuel, Lavika Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Dekaya Kevati, Ana Damrika Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So Shmuel says, fine, then I answered your challenge. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon agrees with me that you have to pay double if the witnesses come. Any time, even after the admission. So I follow Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in the Sefa, so I don't have to follow the Resha. You're right, it's hard for me to explain the Resha, but the answer that we gave here for Shmuel is not going to work well with the Sefa, but Shmuel says, the Sefa itself gives me an out, I follow, he's worthy, I can follow him. Lishmuel v'day Tana'ehi. So for sure, according to Shmuel, there's a machloket Tana'im between the Tanakama and the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon on this topic. And he follows the second one. L'Rab Milema Tana'ehi. According to Rab also, will we say that there's a machloket Tana'im and he follows only Tanakama? Is there any way to reconcile Rab with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Amalach Rab, Ana Adamre Afilu Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rab says, I can follow both, and I'll interpret the machloket differently. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hatam, ela mishum dekam modeh mehamat bi'atuta de'adim. Aval hacha de modeh me'asmo, afilu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon modeh. Rav says, I can even agree with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon only disagrees in this case, and thinks that if the witnesses come after, he has to pay double, because it's evident that the thief only came and admitted to his crime because he was afraid of the witnesses who were about to walk in. So this was not a sincere admission, right? Because he saw that if he waits another minute, then the witnesses are going to come. So this, in this case, it's not sincere. It doesn't count. If he came and admitted freely that there was no witnesses in sight, and no one knew that there are witnesses even, and he came and just admitted on his own without a fear of a threat of witnesses coming, even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would agree with Tanakama, and there's also an opinion of Rav that that he doesn't pay kefil, even if witnesses should come sometime after. And this here is a special case because the witnesses were walking in right after him. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Mistav Rav Milte Derav, Beomer Ganavti, Ubam Adim Sheganav Patur, Shareh Chiev Asmo Bekeden. Rav Hamnuna is going to take an in-between position between Rav and Shmuel. He says, I agree with Rav, but only in the case where the thief comes and says, I stole. We didn't know he stole at all, right? He's just a regular guy on the street, and he comes into court and says, listen, I stole this ox from that guy. And then witnesses come and said that yes, he in fact stole. In that case, he will not have to pay the fine, because when he first comes in and testifies that I stole, he is making himself liable to pay the keden. Beforehand, he was totally innocent until proven guilty. So he wouldn't have to pay anything at all. By admitting and self-incriminating, he's making himself liable to pay one ox. So it's evident here that he must be sincere, because he's actually making himself more liable than he was before. So in this case, I agree with Rav that even if witnesses come after, he doesn't have to pay the double. Aval amar lo ganavti ubao edim sheganav vechazav amar tabachti umacharti ubao edim shetabach umachar hayav shere patar asmo mikelum. But if at first the thief denied that he was the thief, and then two witnesses came and said, yes, he in fact stole it, so now he's going to have to pay double. And at that point, he says, all right, I'm going to admit to the whole thing. I also slaughtered it, or I also sold it. And then witnesses come afterwards that he in fact slaughtered it or sold it, he does have to pay the 4 and 5, because in giving that admission, he was trying to make himself off the hook totally. He did not make himself liable for anything. So that's the difference. According to Rav Hamnuna, he agrees with the Rav's position. If the admission makes him liable to pay something, as in the stealing in the first place, we didn't know he was a thief. He says, I'm the thief. He has to pay Kedin. Okay, in that case, you never have to pay the double, even if witnesses come after. But if the admission does not make you pay anything, then you're just trying to get off the hook. You're exempting himself. He's exempting himself from everything. In that case, it's only to his benefit to admit to it. If witnesses come after, say, listen, we would have known anyway about it. You didn't put yourself on the line for anything. And therefore, you do have to pay 4 and 5. That is what Rav Hamnuna's opinion regarding Rav. Amar Rava, ki pachti lesebe debe Rav. Rava says, I got the better of, I beat the elders of the house of Rav. He's referring to Rav Hamnuna. He says, Rav Hamnuna, your compromised position cannot possibly be what Rav originally said. Remember, Rav's original statement was transmitted in the name of Rav Huna. And up at the beginning of the sugya today, the daf today, Rav Chista challenged him in that story, from that story. Deha, Rabban Gamliel poter asmo mikilum hava, vekamar le Rav Chista le Rav Huna, vela. Because when Rabban Gamliel admitted that he took out his slave's eye, that admission would not make him liable to pay anything, right? In fact, this is an admission that's similar to the second case here, the Tavachti Umacharti. It would let him off scot-free. Now, it happens to be that Rabban Gamliel wanted the slave to go free, right? But let's just imagine that he didn't want to go free, and so this admission by admitting it, he can keep his slave now, but he doesn't give any liability. So that'll be the same as this case. Now, there, Rav Chista challenged Rav Huna and said, wait, this is only based on admissions. Witnesses have not come, which would imply that if witnesses came, then there would be a fine. And that was against Rav Huna's statement in the name of Rav. And Rav Huna did not answer him. But if Rav Hamnuna is correct, then Rav Huna could have answered and said, even Rav would agree that if witnesses come in this case, because the original admission did not give him any liability, he's just no fine at all. And then if witnesses come after, Rav would agree that he would have to let the slave free. And Rav Huna would agree with that because that's the nature of this case. But if it was a case where he admits liability to stealing in the first place, where he's making himself liable, that's when Rav said that when witnesses come after, we ignore them. The fact that Rav Huna did not say that means that Rav Huna and Rav, and Rav Huna, the name of Rav, did not agree with Rav Hamnuna, and Rava said this to the elders of the house of Rav, meaning Rav Hamnuna, and that stumped them. Itmar name. Now we have another statement by Rabbi Yochanan that is going to agree with Rav Hamnuna. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan ganavti ubau edim sheganav patur sherech yev asmo bekeren. If the thief says, comes and admits, I stole this ox, and then witnesses come afterwards and says that he stole, he does not have to pay the double, only the keren, because in his original admission, he made himself liable to pay the keren. Aval amar lo ganav, ubau edim sheganav. But if he did not admit to stealing, and now witnesses came and said he stole, now he has to pay double. Chazar v'amar tavachti macharti. But at that point, he admitted to slaughtering it. Ubau edim shetavachu machar hayav. And then witnesses came after that and said that he slaughtered it. So then the thief has to pay the 4 and 5. Shehare patar asmo mikilum, because by admitting that he slaughtered it, he did not make himself liable to anything, right? He was trying to be totally exempt. Since he did not make himself liable to anything, fine, he won't have to pay anything as long as we only know based on his admission. But once witnesses come, then he does have to pay. That's exactly the position of Rav Hamnuna. So we add the Biochanan to it. Amar Rav Asher, matnitin ubaraita name daika. Rav Asher adds that there is a Mishnah and also a baraita that agrees with the opinions of Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan. Matnitin ditnan. Ganav al pi shenayim v'tavachu machar al pi ayad echad o al pi atzmo. Mishlam tashlome kefil v'no mishlam tashlome arba'a v'chamisha. The Mishnah is our Mishnah that we are discussing. If someone stole, two witnesses came and testified that he stole, so now he's liable to two based on those witnesses. And then only one witness comes and says that he slaughtered or sold it. Or he is based on his own admission. In that case, he has to pay kefil because it's witnesses that established that he stole it in the first place. So that he has to pay double. But he does not have to pay the 4 and 5 because that's based on his own admission. Or one witness, which is not sufficient. Now we ask about the Mishnah. Lama li detane ganav al pi shenayim? Why does he have to bring the case where he first was liable as a thief based on two witnesses? And then it wants us to show the principle that self-incrimination does not pay a fine. It gives us the example of the 4 and 5. After he admitted that he slaughtered it. Why give that as the example? Why not give the example as the one who stole it? Nitne ganav v'tavach umachad al pi ayed echad or al pi atzmo eno mishalem ela keren. Give a simpler case, a full case, where if he comes and says, I stole and I slaughtered it, or I sold it, he admits that all either based on one witness, we know that, or based on his own testimony, he pays only the keren, and he does not have to pay any fine, not the kefil and not the 4 and 5. Isn't this a better case? Like, why give half a case where it's half based on testimony that he pays double, and the other half, the 4 and 5, is based on his own admission, and therefore he doesn't have to pay that, right? Give us a simpler and actually a more interesting case that if he admits to the whole thing, ganav and tabach, then he pays only the keren and doesn't pay any of the fines. Rather, it must be the Mishnah that is doing this on purpose. It wants to teach us this very law of Rav Hamnuna. Ganav al pi shenayim tabach al pi adechad or al pi asmo hu delo mechayev asmo bekeren. Only in a case where the theft is based on two witnesses, there was no admission, and then the slaughter is based on one witness or upon his self-admission. That's in that case, only in that case, where he is not making himself liable to anything, right? By admitting only to the slaughter, he's not making himself liable to pay the keren, unlike if he admitted to the theft in the first place, where he would. It's in this case, right? The second case of Rav Hamnuna. Hu damrinan al pi asmo dumya da al pi ed echad ma al pi ed echad ki ata echad mistaref v'hade mechayev al pi asmo nami ki atu edim mechayev. It's in this case where he is not making himself liable to anything. That's where we say, as it says in the rest of the Mishnah, that the self-admission is the same as one witness. Just like with one witness, if a second witness should come, then they'll join together and be two witnesses, and he has to pay. So too, if he self-incriminates and then two witnesses come, he will have to pay after. So when do you have to pay? When witnesses come, only if it's a case that he only admitted to the slaughter because he didn't make himself liable by doing that. Aval ganav uvetavach umachad. But if the case had been what you proposed it should be, where he admits to the whole thing that he stole and slaughtered or sold it, al pi edechad or al pi asmo, based on womanness or upon his own admission, dechayev asmo bekedim, by admitting that, he is actually making himself liable. So his admission is worth a lot there. Lo amrina na pi asmo dumya da pi echad. Then we would not apply the principle that the self-incrimination is the same as one witness. But rather, indeed, if it was based on one witness and the second witness came, then that's two witnesses, then he would have to pay the fine. But if it was self-incrimination, and then witnesses came afterwards, he would not have to pay any fines at all if it were that he had admitted even to the theft, because that admission brings with it a liability, and that is worth a lot more. So this Mishnah, you see that from the fact that it didn't talk about this case, but only talked about the case of admitting to slaughter, not to the case where he admitted to Geneva, and applies this principle that witnesses that come after make him pay. You see, that's only in that case he pays, But if it were this case, then he would not pay. That is exactly the principle of Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan. But that's the proof from the Mishnah. Now Rav Asher says, I'm going to bring a proof from a Baraita also. Here it is. Baraita de Tanya. So this guy, he sees the witnesses that are about to walk into the courthouse. He runs in and says, oh, I did it. I stole. But he denies that he slaughtered or sold it. Eno mishalim ela keren. He pays one, even if the witnesses come in after, because he made himself liable. Now, lama li lemitna ve'amar ganavti avalo tavachti ve'lo macharti nitne o ganavti o tavachti macharti. Now, why does he have to specify only if he said, I stole it, and not if he admitted to slaughtering it? Why not say whatever he admitted to? Either he admitted to slaughtering it, or stealing it, or he admitted to slaughtering it or selling it. Why don't we say in any case, it wouldn't matter, and he would not have to pay a fine, even when the witnesses came afterwards. Rather, you see, the Braita is very precise. Only if he admits to having stolen it, where he makes himself liable to pay the principal amount, that's when witnesses come later, he doesn't have to pay the fine. Aval amad lo ganavti uba oedim. But if at first he denied stealing it, and based on witnesses, now we know he stole it. And then he says, okay, fine, I will admit to slaughtering it or selling it. And then witnesses came and said that testified that he slaughtered or sold it, where he did not make himself liable for anything, not even for the principal amount. He was trying to get off scot-free. So in that case, his admission is not worth so much, and the witnesses that come afterwards will make him liable to pay the 4 and 5. Alma hoda'a d'tbicha, lav hoda'a hi. We see that an admission to only slaughtering it, not stealing it in the first place, is not a valid admission. I mean, we're not going to make him, if we only have the admission without witnesses, we're not going to make him pay. That's true. But if witnesses come after, then he will have to pay. Amri, lo la hi gufa kamashmalan, tekevan damar ganavti, afagav damar lo tavachti velo macharti, uba yadim shetavachu machar patur, maita ama. The Gemara now rejects the proof from this Baraita, and he says, no, it's actually coming to teach, this Baraita is coming to teach us this very law, the following very law, that once thief admitted that he in fact stole it, so now since he admitted he stole it, so he doesn't have to pay any fines, even if he denies that he slaughtered or sold it. But then witnesses come afterwards and say that he did slaughter it or sell it, he does not have to pay any of the fines. Why not? I mean, he only admitted that he stole it, so I understand he would not be liable to pay the double, but he denied having slaughtered it, so why doesn't he have to pay? He doesn't have to pay the two, right? He has to pay the keren. He shouldn't have to pay the two, but let's say it's an ox, he should have to pay three more because he denied having slaughtered it, and look, turns out that he slaughtered it because witnesses came. Tashlume arba v'chamisha, let's just say tashlume chamisha amar hachamana v'lo tashlume arba'a v'lo tashlume shelosha, because the Torah says that one has to pay five for an ox, and you never pay four for an ox. It says you pay four for a sheep, and you never have to pay three for a sheep. In other words, either you pay kefel and you pay the extra two or three, or if you don't pay kefel, then you don't pay the 4 and 5 either. In this case, since he admitted that he stole it, and that includes liability, so he certainly will not have to pay the kefel no matter what happens, even if witnesses come after, certainly if no witnesses come. If he doesn't have to pay the kefel, even if he denied slaughtering and witnesses came after that he slaughters it, he doesn't have to pay the added two or three, because you never pay two or three more. You only pay, if you don't have to pay the kefel, then you don't pay the two or three more either, right? So it's 4 and 5 and not 3 and 4. Now, Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan, their opinions, it seems, are subject to a machloket between two Tanaim. Let's say that they are. And we bring a following long beraita that with a long discussion about it. Hayu shenai me'edim sheganav, hayu shenai me'edim oto shetavach umachar, huz mu'ade geneva, adut shebatla miksata batla kula. We know this case already. Two witnesses say that this man stole an ox, and two other witnesses come and say that he also slaughtered it. I'm going to say also say slaughtered instead of selling every time. Let's assume the slaughter case is the same if he sells it. And then Edim Mizimim come and say the first set of witnesses could not have seen the theft because they weren't there. So once they are canceled, they're going to have to pay double. The two witnesses, false witnesses, Edim Zoamin, will have to pay double. But once that is shown to be false, the second set of witnesses just are canceled altogether, because if they never stole it, then the slaughtering is not important. It doesn't matter even if he slaughtered it. And therefore, the second set of witnesses are, it's as if they didn't come, and no one pays 4 and 5. Huzmu edeh tebicha, hu mishalem tashlumei kefel, hen mishalemin tashlumei shelosha. But if only the second set of witnesses were found to be edim zomemin, but the first set stands, then the thief himself pays the double because he stole it, and it's the edim zomemin that have to fill in the rest of it, because they would have made him, if they were right, and he slaughtered it, they would have made him pay 4 and 5 altogether. So they would have made him pay 2 or 3 more. And so they have to fill that in and pay the extra 3 for an ox. Mishum sumchus amru, hen mishalim tashlumei kefel, v'hu mishalim tashlumei shelosha lapad u'shnayim la'ayil. But sumchus, curiously, switches around the payments and say that the edim zomamin, the first set, right, a pay double, and the thief himself, has to pay 3 for an ox and 2 more for a ram or for a sheep. Now, what does Simchus mean? Ahaya ka'es Simchus. Which case is Simchus talking about? The Resha or the Sefa? Ilem Aresha led the Simchus to do Shabbatah Miksata Batla Kula. If it's talking about the Resha, does Simchus deny the principle that once part of the testimony is invalidated, the whole thing is invalidated? Since we know that he never stole it, so then there's no point in testifying that he slaughtered it. The slaughtering is meaningless if he didn't steal it. Vela asefa shapir kamre rabanan hu meshalem tashlumei kefel v'hen meshalemin tashlumei shelosha. If it's about the second case, then rabanan seem to be correct that the thief himself should have to pay the double, because two witnesses said that he in fact stole it, so he is liable. And the second set of witnesses about the slaughter, they're the ones that were found to be edim zomin, so then they should have to pay the 3. Why would Simchos flip it around? Ela milta charita ikabenaihu. Rather, they must be talking about a different case, one that it's not explicitly in the baraita. Simchos was referring to another variation. Kegon datu betereva amri le ganavta. Two witnesses come and say, "This you stole an ox." Amar lehu in ganavti vetavachti umacharti. Mihu lo bifnechem ganavti. The thief admits, "You're right. I did steal it. Not only that, I also slaughtered it, but I did not steal it in front of you. You are false witnesses. Although I admit that I stole it, you have no way of knowing that." Turns out he was right. And so two edim ezimim come and talk about that first set of witnesses and say in fact they were not there on the day that they claim it was stolen. They were with us in Chicago. So we erased those witnesses. And so at this point, the thief in fact admitted not only to the theft, although he did admitted to the theft, or maybe only because of pressure of these witnesses, but he admitted also to the slaughter. And then the original owner of the ox brings two more witnesses, a third set of witnesses, that say he stole it and he slaughtered it. In that case, the machloket is about this case between Simchos and Rabbanan, and they're arguing about this admission to the tevicha. Should we take it into account or not? The Rabbanan sabre, af agav de hoda'a de geneva mechamat edim hu de kam modeh, hoda'a de tevicha hoda'ahi upatur. The rabbis say, even though he admitted to the original theft, only because witnesses had come, and they're like, okay, fine, witness, even though the original thief knew that these witnesses weren't even there, nevertheless, that put pressure on them and says, okay, fine, you're right. I did steal it, and in fact, I slaughtered it. So even though the original admission of theft was because of those witnesses, nevertheless, the admission, so that doesn't count. The admission to theft doesn't count because we already, at that point, they had witnesses. They weren't found to be Edim Zomin yet. But he added, the thief added at that point that, yes, I also slaughtered it. He added that on his own, and therefore, Rabbanan are following the original opinion of Rav Huna Amar Rav, that once there is an admission, in all cases, no matter what, even if witnesses come later, he is patur. So this would be against Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan. But v'simchus aman kivan dehoda'a degenva mechamat edim hu deka mode ditpicha lav hoda'a. Simchus has, since they admitted to the original theft only because of witnesses, so that doesn't count at all. And so the admission to slaughter, he didn't lose anything from there's no liability, and therefore it's not an admission. It's a very weak admission, and therefore when the true witnesses come later that the owner brings, there will be a fine. Now the first set of witnesses that came and said he stole it, so they were trying to make the thief pay double, and they turned out to be Edim Zoamin. And it turns out he was the thief, but they had no way of knowing that. They have to pay anyway. So they will have to pay. Well, they were going to make the thief pay double, so they pay the thief. But it turns out the thief was guilty, so the thief also has to pay double to the owner. So that you could skip the middleman there. And the Edim Zoamin, that first set of witnesses, can pay the double to the owner. That's what Simchus meant when he said the double is paid by the Edim Zoamin. And the thief himself has to pay three for an ox and two for a ram, because even though he had admitted to that, he admitted that at a point when he was not making himself liable to anything more. So admission is weak, and the witnesses that came afterwards, and that is the opinion of Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan. So you see that, so this machloket and this baraita, if it's in fact talking about this case, which is the only case we can think of for in which Simchus would make sense, is a case where Simchus agrees with Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan, or the other way around, Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan agree with Simchus, and Rabbanan is against their opinion. However, this proposal is rejected. Amar Rav Acha b'ded Rav Ika lo dekula ama hodat tficha lav hoda'ahi. In fact, could be everybody, Rabbanan and Simchus, agree that the admission regarding the slaughtering is not a valid admission. Does not assume any liability. And so could be everybody here agrees with Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Yochanan. So what are they arguing about? Ela be'adut she'i ata yachol lahazima kami palge. If you have testimony where the witnesses cannot be found to be Edim Zomin, there's no way they could be found Edim Zomin, then that testimony itself is not valid, because it's irrefutable by other people coming and claiming that they weren't there. The classic example of Edut She'at HaYachol HaZima is if the witnesses don't say a day and a time. They say, we saw this guy steal, we saw this guy murder. Oh, when did it happen? I don't remember. Recently. I don't have the day, exact day or the exact time. That's no good, because then you can never have, they can never become Edim Zoamin. Someone else is going to come and say, oh, well, you were with us in Chicago last Tuesday. Oh, no, it didn't happen on last Tuesday. I mean, it was a different day. I don't remember when it happened. That's no good. The fact that Edim can be found to be Zoamin by saying the exact place and time, that is an important safeguard regard to false witnesses, to make sure that they're false, because whatever they say, this if they are lying, then they probably were in fact somewhere else, and somebody else would have seen them there. So that's the classic case, and everybody agrees to that. But we're talking about a variation of this category. Kegon datu sahadev amri le ganavta. So the case is a little bit different than how we presented it just earlier. It's where two witnesses come and say, this guy stole an ox. And the thief says, indeed, I admit to it. I stole it and I slaughtered it or sold it. Umihu lo bifnechem ganavti ele bifne peloni ufloni. Vaitesa deve az minu de la ba payu ganav, vatu peloni ufloni das hidube de ganav vetavach umachar. However, even though I admit that I did do the crime, you were not there. You were not present, and you could not have been testified about it. Rather, I did steal, and it was in front of two other people. And he brings those two other. He brings Edim Zomamin that know that the first set of witnesses weren't there at all. So the first set of witnesses are Edim Zomamin, and then the two people that he named, the thief named, that they were there. He brings them also, or they come on their own. And they testify that this guy, he indeed stole and slaughtered. All right, that's the case. It's three sets of witnesses. The first ones, although their testimony happens to be true, but they didn't actually see it. And so they are found to be Edim Zomemin. And then that's by a second set of witnesses that says they were there. And then the third set of witnesses comes and they testify. These third set were already named and by the thief himself, and so they are supporting the admission of the thief. Okay, ubakami palge. This is the case that they're arguing about. Rabbanan sabre haviyada edut sheyataya chol azima vechol edut sheyataya chol azima la havia edut. Now, even though in this case the third set here are giving the time and place, that's not the problem. The problem is that they are supporting the admission of the thief, right? The thief said that he did it and said that these guys were there, which is going to make it basically impossible for anyone to come and say, no, they could not have seen that they're with us somewhere else, if the thief himself admitted to it and said, yeah, they were there with me. And so because this case of testimony cannot be refuted, Edim Zomin aren't going to be able to come. Therefore, it's not a good, it's not valid testimony. So the third set of witnesses are invalid. And instead, we are relying on what the thief said. Therefore, the thief only has to pay the amount of the principal, which he admitted to. And the Edim Zomemin, that first set of witnesses, they tried to make him pay double. So they will have to pay double. That's it. The thief does not have to pay the four and five because he admitted to that. And the witnesses that came afterwards, the third set of witnesses, are not null and void because they cannot be refuted. And Simchus says that even though this testimony is going to be impossible to refute with Edim Zomemin, the third set, because they're supporting the thief, and the thief already admitted and said that they were there. Nevertheless, it is valid testimony in this case. And so because we're accepting the third set, therefore the original admission of the thief is not counted as an admission. So the thief basically has to pay everything, has to pay all five for an ox. But the Edim Zomemin, we're going to make him pay double the first two. Therefore, those Edim Zomemin would pay that double to the thief. And instead of giving it to the thief, they can give it actually to the owner directly, with the net result is that the Edim Zomemin pay double to the owner, and the thief pays three times to the owner. And that explains the opinion of Somchos. One more question. Two more questions. Hold on. How could it be that Somchos would say that this is valid testimony when we have a general principle that testimony that cannot become edut zomemet is not valid testimony? He goes against that rule. It's a general rule. Oh, yahani melehecha de la yadai beeze yom beeze sha'a deleka edut kela lavalacha si yo'ehu dekam misayayele. So yes, of course, Simchus would agree that this rule is true in a case where the witnesses don't know what day it is or don't know what hour it is, and there's no testimony at all because it's irrefutable, and therefore we have to throw it out altogether. But here, the only problem is that it's supported by the thief. The thief is supporting their testimony. That makes it very, very credible and almost impossible for Edim Zoamin to ever come. But still, that holds. So we still consider that good, valid testimony. They gave the time, they gave the place, everything is in order. And so what if the thief said so also? I mean, that just makes their testimony stronger. It shouldn't undo their testimony altogether. So Somchos makes a valid point. Last clarification. Amar mor hem mishalmim tashlume kefel midekam odega deganav keden ba'ayesh shalume. You said according to Somchos, the edim zomemin, that first set, have to pay double. But wait a second, the ganav himself has to pay a principal because he admitted to the theft. So certainly he has to pay a principal. So that means that Edim Zomim should only have to pay one time, right? The half of the double. Amar Rabbi Elazar Mishmei Derav Taneh Tashlum Dekefel. Rabbi Elazar says, you're right. The Baraita should read, they have to pay the payment of double. They don't have to pay double. The thief himself pays one. He's also going to pay the extra three for the ox, and the Edim Zoamin will just pay one time for the fine that they would have had to make him pay in over and above the original keren. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.